Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, the opulence of the Absolute, text 26. Ashvatak Savra Vrikshanam Devarshinam Chanarda Kandarvanam Chitarata Siddhanam Kapila Muni Ashvata, the banyan tree, Savarikshanam, of all trees, Devanam, Devarshinam, of all the sages among the demigods, Cha, and Narada, Narada. Gandharvanam, of the citizens of the Gandharva planet. Chitarata, Chitarata, Siddhanam, of all those who give, who are perfected. Kapila Muni. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Of all trees, I am the banyan tree, and of all the sages among the demigods, I am Narada. Of the Gandharvas, I am Chitarata, and among perfected beings, I am the sage Kapila. Purport, the banyan tree, Ashvata, is one of the big, highest and most beautiful trees, and people in India often worship it as one of their daily morning rituals. Among the demigods, they also worship Narada, who is considered the greatest devotee in the universe. Thus, he is the representative of Krishna as a devotee. The Gandharva planet is filled with entities who sing beautifully, and among them, the best singer is Chitarata. Among the perfect living entities, Kapila, the son of Devahuti, is a representative of Krishna. It's considered an incarnation of Krishna, and his philosophy is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Later on, another Kapila became famous, but his philosophy was atheistic. There was a gulf of difference between them. So why is Ashvata, the banyan tree, considered to be sacred? Anyone know? Any idea? Why not the pear tree or the apple tree? Do you know Adipurusha?
I don't know, but I have ideas.
Okay, what's your idea?
Prabhupada says it's big and beautiful.
They should have gone to California. Of all the trees, I'm the oak. Or the, what do they call those in California? Sequoia trees. Of all the trees, I'm sequoia. Where else is banyan tree mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita? Does anyone know? Yes.
There's an allegory of material world where the woods are such, and says one who is example of reflection.
Yeah.
In the water and then.
Yes, we got the idea. The 15th chapter, Krishna says, Ashvatam Prahur Avyayam. There is a banyan tree which has its roots upward and its branches down, and the Vedic hymns are its leaves. One who knows this tree is said to be the knower of the Vedas. Urdhva, Sri Bhagavan, Urdhva Malama Dakshakam, Ashvatam Prahur Avyam, Chidamsi Yasya Parnani, Yastvam Vedas Vedapit. Urvam Mulam Adakshakam. Ashvata Prahur Avyam. So this banyan tree has its roots upward and its branches down, and the hymns of the Vedic, the leaves of the Vedic hymns. that one who knows this tree is a knower of the Vedas. So that may be a reason why it's considered, Krishna says. Yes?
I remember this is the first time when little baby Krishna first time in Maitreya Muni, he wanted to experience the external energy.
Markandeya Muni.
Markandeya
Rishi.
Yeah, Markandeya Rishi, and then there's a little baby Krishna sucking his toe, and he's being folded around on the banyan leaf.
Yeah, so banyan leaves, Krishna likes to float on them. For how long? 4,300,000 years he's on a leaf. So it must be quite a comfortable leaf. See if you can float on the banyan leaf and see how. Of course, Krishna's lotus feet are so sweet, his toes are so sweet, that he keeps on, he hears how the devotees relish the sweetness of his lotus feet, so he wants to find out how sweet they are. So during the devastation, he takes the time and he sucks on his big toe to see how sweet it is. You can try it too, see if your toe is sweet. You have to practice yoga a little bit though. So, of all the trees and in the sages, I'm the demigod Narada. So where is Narada in this temple? Anyone know what Narada is in this temple? Yes. Shiva, yes, so Narada is here. He's the spiritual master of Pallad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, disciple of Lord Brahma. So we're very fortunate to have Shivas Thakur here. And he says here he's the best devotee. So if we want to find out who's the best devotee here, we can nominate Shivas. I don't know about a chair. One time when they were having a big program, they rented out this hall in New York, like the Philharmonical Opera, for holds like 2,000 or 3,000 people. And Prabhupada came to give the lecture there. This is probably 1968 or something like that. Prabhupada came to give the lecture, and there's like 50 people in a hall meant for 2,000. And half of them were the devotees. So at the end, they were quite disappointed. And Prabhupada said, well, why were you disappointed? Didn't you see Lord Brahma was there? Lord Shiva was there? Narada Muni was there? So, if Narada Muni comes to your class and listens, and Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, you know it was a good day. Even if no one else comes. And here it says, of the Gandharvas, I'm Chitarata. Generally we hear that the Gandharvas are fabulous musicians, but here they say they sing nicely. I guess they're not only good musicians, but they sing nicely, and it seems that they're always engaged in fighting also. So maybe singing and fighting goes together. And among the perfected beings on the stage, Kapila. So those who want to find out more about Kapila, they can read the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a whole story of Kapila Muni there and his philosophy, heavy philosophy. So the next verse, Uchai Shravasam Ashvanam Vidimam Amritobhavam Airavataga Jandranam Naranam Jarnaradipam. Of horses know me to be the Uchai Shrava, produced during the churning of the ocean for nectar. Of lordly elephants I am Airavata, and among men I am the monarch. Purport, the devotee demigods and the demons, Asuras, once took part in churning the sea. From this churning, nectar and poison were produced, and Lord Shiva drank the poison. from the nectar will produce many entities, of which there is a horse named Uchchaisrava. Another animal produced from the nectar was an elephant named Airavata. Because these two animals were produced from the nectar, they have special significance, and they are representatives of Krishna. Among the human beings, the king is a representative of Krishna. Because Krishna is the maintainer of the universe, and the kings, maintainers of their kingdoms. Kings like Maharaj Yudhisthira, Maharaj Parikshit, and Lord Rama were all highly righteous kings, who always thought of the citizens' welfare. In Vedic literature, the king is considered to be the representative of God. In this age, however, with the corruption of the principles of religion, monarchy decayed and is now abolished. It is to be understood that in the past, however, people were more happy under righteous kings. Well, to understand how a horse and an elephant can be produced by nectar takes quite a bit of realization. In any case, there must be quite nectarian horse. There must be a nectarian horse and a nectarian elephant. And then Airavata, whose elephant is he? Indra, yes. And he can, Indra rides him around the universe, so he must be a very special elephant. And whose horse is Airavata, is Uchchaisrava? Do you know Adi Purushra? Someone got a really good horse. We don't know who it is, though. Who did Prabhupada say was, which animal did Prabhupada say was the most beautiful animal? A horse. What about the cow? When Prabhupada was asked, what is the most beautiful, Prabhupada asked the devotees, what is the most beautiful animal? And someone answered, cow. And Prabhupada gave a strange face and said, a cow is not a beautiful animal. Then he said, a horse. And of all the kings, here it says, the king is supposed to be the representative of Krishna. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which king did Sanatana Goswami give his respects to? We may not consider such a pious king. Yeah, the Nawab Hussain, insane. Sanatana Goswami, he was a minister. How did he become a minister? If he was such a nasty person, and who was it? Nawab Hussain Shah, who was he in his youth, when he was a young boy? He has quite a history. Yes, Hare Purusha. And who else, the servant, did he become? He was Subhuti in his childhood, he was Subhuti Roy's servant. But then he became the servant of who? Of the other king, Nawab. And then he killed him, and he became Nawab. Nice person. And what was his business? He went around trying to torture the Vaishnavas, at least invade King Prataparuja's kingdom. So how did Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami become engaged in the government of the Nawab Hussain Shah? What's that? How were they forced? What's that? Blackmail. What was the blackmail? Yeah, something like that. Do you know the story, Adi Purusha?
I heard that he said, if you don't become one of the ministers, I will start killing Brahmas and Vaishnavas.
Yeah, something like that. Still, when Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami retired first, and he left the kingdom, and then Sanatana Goswami decided he was going to retire too. Because after visiting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they decided they'd retire and become devotees, full-time devotees. So Sanatana Goswami retired, and he was staying in his house with 20 or so Brahmins reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Nawab heard that Sanatana Goswami was pleading that he was sick, he was on sick leave, so he didn't really believe it, so he came and he saw Sanatana Goswami who was reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like sometimes the devotees are reading Srila Prabhupada's books and some other devotee comes and says, what are you wasting your time? Why don't you do some practical service? I remember when I was first moved into the temple at the beginning of February, the end of 1968 in Buffalo. My friend who moved in with me, every time he saw me reading, he'd get on my case. What are you wasting your time reading these books for? Of course, we didn't have so many. All we had was Back to Godheads. We had probably originally three Srimad Bhagavatams. But it was considered quite a waste of time to read these books. So you had to read them secretly, and no one was observing you. So Sanatana Goswami, we were following Sanatana Goswami's footsteps. So he also had the same difficulty. The person he was working for didn't like when he was studying Prabhupada's books or Srimad Bhagavatam. And what did Sanatana Goswami say? Adi Purusha, what was his reply? You remember Sanatana Goswami's reply to Nawab Hussain Shah? Said something like, you know, you're going around chastising everyone if they don't listen to you. So I'm also not listening to you, so you should chastise me. So Sanatana Goswami was thinking, he'll fire me. He didn't think he was going to arrest me. So they arrested him, put him in jail. And how did he get out of jail? Does anyone know? The jailkeeper, yeah. And how did he, what did he tell the jailkeeper who was nervous that the Nawab would get angry with him? Well, first he said, you know, Sanatana Goswami said that you're a learned scholar in the Quran. Of course, he was a jailkeeper, he didn't know any, probably didn't know how to read. But Prabhupada said that anytime you flatter someone, they immediately think, they come up to that level and think, yes, of course. He said, you're a learned scholar. So this illiterate jailkeeper thought, yes, he's right, I'm a learned scholar. And as you've read in the Quran, anyone who frees liberates a person, or anyone who liberates someone from jail goes to heaven. So the jailkeeper thought, well, if I liberate you, I'll go to heaven. That sounds great. And Sanatana Goswami promised him 5,000 gold coins. So if I go to heaven, I get 5,000 gold coins. I mean, gold coins were... As we find out later on, Sanatana Goswami had 8 gold coins, and one innkeeper was going to kill him for 8 gold coins. What to speak of 5,000 gold coins? Probably the jailkeeper bought a palace or something. In any case, Sanatana Goswami said he raised the amount. I think he gave him even more gold coins. And the jailkeeper, he gave him a deal that the jailkeeper couldn't refuse. And then he said, well, what do I tell the Nawab? He told him that Sanatana Goswami, he passed stool and he went to take a bath in the river, and in the ocean actually. And then he threw his ball and chain into the ocean and he drowned. And we looked for him, but we couldn't find him. And Sanatana Goswami said, don't worry about it, because I'm going to Mecca, and you won't see me anymore anyhow. So sometimes we have to use diplomacy in Krishna consciousness too. A little lie sometimes goes a long way, especially when dealing with duplicitous people. Anyhow, this, to give a class on these verses is quite challenging. I don't think Prabhupada gave a verse on any of these classes, on any of these verses. But there's interesting persons involved in these. Kapila Muni, a horse came, named this Trishrava, where we don't know where it is, it got lost somewhere. An elephant made out of nectar. Get hungry, just lick the elephant. A Gandharva singing, if you can hear the Gandharva singing, playing the musical instruments. I think the Gandharvas also have wings, don't they? Yeah, they have wings. Interesting universe. Down here, relatively, things are quite boring, but up there, it's really going on. What they say in English is really rocking. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Even there's a challenge to have a dude, Roy, if he's there. Challenge to give the class is even more of a challenge to ask a question about it. Yes, we have.
Hare Krishna. Should we use diplomacy with devotees in any case?
Well, if they put you in jail and you're trying to get out. Otherwise, Prabhupada said, if you can reciprocate with people, if they're being devious with you, you can reciprocate with them. But ordinarily with the devotees, we don't want to be devious. Krishna is in our heart. He knows if we're good or bad. So be good for Krishna's sake. Else Krishna might put you in difficulty. Any example of devotees not being straightforward and getting into difficulty in the scriptures? Yeah. Well, let's. Who is always straightforward? What's that? Who else? Prahlad Maharaj. It's quite straightforward. So generally, the devotees are quite straightforward. But where's an example of someone who wasn't so straightforward? He wanted to be straightforward, but Krishna didn't want him to be straightforward. Krishna told him to be a little diplomatic. Who is that example? Yes.
So when he's asked, actually,
Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama, the elephant.
The battle of Kurukshetra, and then applied the lie that actually Ashwatthama is dead, but actually it's the elephant.
Yeah, they killed an elephant named Ashwatthama.
Like, Ashwatthama. He's dead.
Yeah, so Yudhisthira Maharaj is told, because that way Dronacharya would become despondent, and then he could be easily killed by Drishtadyumna. So sometimes you have to lie. All right. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.